Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Hey, we have new toys.
Utah, give me two.
There we go.
Utah, give me two.
Oh, you gotta hit pause after.
Give me two. Well,
I didn't hit it, did I?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
Just gotta take it away from myself. Anyway, welcome everybody. This is the Prospects Power Hour with Robbie and Ben, and we have buttons, and that's just what's gonna happen now. We will contain ourselves. So for those of you in the To Be Named Later League who listen to this and like to troll at Govier's, as you call it, excessive button pressing, well, we got buttons now too. But we will do our best to stick to topics of importance tonight, in addition to ice cold beer and the good prospect information. So Ben, it has been a week. How are you?
It's been a busy week around here. We had what's called, and you would love this. We had what's called Wheel Jam here. It's a whole bunch of truckers that come in and they do a show and shine, and they do dynamic engine braking competitions. There's two different nights of stock car racing on a dirt track, which is always good to enjoy. It's a kind of a big deal around here. I think it's like the 20th. I think this year, but it's been going on a little while, and it's a good time. We bring in a lot of folks, but part of that is also there is a chili competition on Friday, and then there is a barbecue competition on Saturday. And this year they added what's called a kids queue, and it's basically for younger people to get on the grill and have a competition. And
oh, that's awesome.
They were all burgers this year, but I mean, they can serve whatever they want to serve. It's a big deal around this area. So it kept me busy all week. Plus, you know, high school and Legion for us baseball, three teams in the area, all busy. I found my way to get sunburned. So, you know, we're good at that.
Well, that's cool. I have exciting truck news. My truck, after 25 months, is now officially on the road. It is street legal. Exactly. I can get out there, drive around. So my kid and I put about 200 kilometers on it, whatever that is in miles, 120 something miles over the weekend. Got a load of soil, three loads of mulch. This is all related to being outside and
fun, exciting dude stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
I have buttons.
It was excellent to do it. And then last night I was like, there's a little rattling going on with my front drive shaft. I'm going to change these U-bolts. Well, as I just said to you, Ben, I've been frantically trying to figure out this part that I need, because it's not the U-bolts. It's something in between it. And it's a 45-year-old truck. So I maybe should have just left it with the rattle. But anyway, rattling is a big thing right now, especially for us here in fantasy baseball land. we'll stick to the topics. We've done our opening.
Yep.
We are happy to have the 60 plus people that are joining us here live on the YouTubes.
We have lots of comments to get to right away here, perfect, Robbie, if you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Did you know that Buster only got hacked today on X? And he released all kinds of fun things. And so this is part of it. Joe did a nice roundup for us. But yeah, Lindor was traded to the A's. Otani's going to jail. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there that that showed up on Buster Olney's Twitter because he got hacked. So that's always fun. This is a good one. And a guy that kind of is fallen out of grace a little bit, although he's no longer technically a prospect because he's been in the minors all year so far. Jackson Churio just went yard. Do you like him or Josh Lowe rest of the season Cats League?
Look, yeah. I don't love either option, but for the sake of sticking with the young guy, being able to finish strong and ideally not fade away, I'd take Churio.
I will say his rolling two-week averages for Churio, I was just looking this up because I picked him up when he got dropped by someone who was a little bit reactionary in late April. And so I picked him up in a keeper league just in case. And I haven't played him much, but he's sitting on my bench and I keep watching the two-week rolling and he's getting better and he's getting better. It's just coming. He's a young guy. We got to remember, folks, not everyone jumps out and is suddenly Rhys Hoskins. You know, that's the standard by all that all should be measured by, of course.
Well, do you want the Rhys Hoskins, Matt Olson rookie debuts with the follow-up of the rest of Rhys, or do you want the reverse of the slow start, strong finish? You know, I think I would prefer the slower start, strong finish. Now, that's just me. So,
and here's our boy Mike VA. Which, hi, Mike. But we need Jason Dominguez called up ASAP. If you saw last night, he had what's been termed the combo meal. He had a home run and a stolen base in the game. I believe he went 4-for-4. I may have my information incorrect, but he is hitting extremely well right now. When do we think the Yanks give him the call? Can't leave his bat down to the minors. Here's the issue. Well, they can't bring his glove up to the majors. That's the problem. Now, if Soto would go on the DL, well, then you might have a spot to slide him or Stanton and deal with some really crappy defense out of one of the two of them and have the other one play DH. But barring, or I guess maybe until Stanton gets injured, there's really not a spot for Dominguez in that lineup.
Yeah, and it's not to his benefit to be up and fighting for playing time versus consistently getting it. Show you're better than the pitchers down there. And I mean, the Yankees are competing. They always want to win. So there'll be a time when that might happen. But again, like Stanton's health is a bonus to most of us out there. It's an expectation of the Yankees, but we all know that that's not what normally happens with him. He gets hurt, and I don't see the point in rushing him up. Like you said, you got to have a regular playing spot. We talked about that a little bit last week with some of the promotions of we want guys coming up, like with was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago with Helio Ramos.
Yeah.
We want them coming up and playing. We don't want them coming up and sitting on the bench.
He's played, I think, every game for like 2 weeks straight now, which is tremendous, and including center field. What the heck?
But and absolutely forgotten or no longer cared about prospect for sure.
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, I'm not interested in that anymore. Fool me once. And we all kind of walked away. I even traded him away in spring training as kind of a roster crunch in a dynasty league. And not that I desperately need his bat at the moment, but you never like the idea of like, I kind of cleared room for him instead of like, I made a good deal that I was happy with. So,
yeah. And Eddie says, hi, Benjamin Robbie. We're looking forward to what you have to say this evening. Well, so are we. Just wait. We're going to be just as surprised as you are.
Well, let's jump in, Ben. Let's jump in some news that we care about. We tried to keep it tight, but efficient. Aside from my speaking at 8 minutes and 30 seconds in, we can transition to that. So four guys last week, Ben, were officially suspended from Major League Baseball or professional baseball.
Naughty, naughty.
Of course, one who was an active Yankee bullpen arm for a total of $199 in bets made. Oh my God, the poor decisions some people make.
Well, and I guess I never did look it up what Jason Groom made, or Grom, or whatever, however you pronounce his last name. It looks like Groom, so there you go. He was a big time prospect when he got drafted by the Red Sox.
Absolutely. Fastball.
Oh yeah. And he made some big money. I will tell you that as part of the NFL's financial program that they have for rookies and whatnot, the financial folks that work with you talk about how basically here are the rules if you want to gamble. And if you are taking an NFL certified financial planner, they will tell you, here is how you can gamble and still be legal. Major League Baseball doesn't offer this. And with the gambling that's prevalent now in the sport, that could be a problem. And we might see more of this going down the road, because none of these were from the last even 2 years, I don't believe. I think all of them.
Yeah, like 2021, right?
Yeah, 2020 and 2021. Yep. So I do have one quick thing we'll throw in. Chad is saying he's got some breaking news. He's got a sauce in Albuquerque. Good barbecue sauce may be there. Drew Romo, they're planning as if Drew Romo will not be on the roster for their upcoming series in El Paso. I know you love your catchers, but
yeah,
if we it's just like in most leagues, you still have to roster them just like a kicker, unfortunately, in football. Mm-hmm. Any interest in rostering Drew Romo if he is called up?
Like redraft wise, I'm just going to really quickly have a look. I feel like it's Jacob Stallings he's the other catcher there who has not been horrible, but last week was, he has not been good. I guess he's worthy of getting rid of. He's had a 150 average in his last 20 at bats, his last 2 weeks, which has also been last 20 at bats. So, I mean, I guess if we're going to make a big fun move. Oh, it was Diaz that got hurt. I wasn't even looking at him. I just assumed he was like the ready to roll guy. So maybe this is a production based deal. Yep. This is where Brent Servin, who they got, who they let go, who ended up with the Blue Jays, this is where he would have come in well, as he has in previous years.
Yep.
I mean, we've only been excited by one Colorado prospect catching prospect the last 6-7 years, and that was Tom Murphy, who continued to underperform for 6-7 years, but was not horrible. And now he's a platoon guy, but he's hurt right now with San Francisco, but he was supposed to be a pretty decent bat. He got 2 years, $60 million, something like that for himself. Yeah. I'm not going to go making any moves to acquire Romo where I don't have him, but if it's redraft, see how the week plays out for him. Colorado's got a lot of prospects up right now, which might mean that, which might mean that opposing pitchers are just going to be throwing fastballs and seeing what they can do with it versus getting creative. So maybe they'll get some good pitches to hit early. And if he gets hot, sure, pick him up. Why not?
And Romo is, by a long ways, defense first. He's an excellent defender. But his offensive skills, he's going to hit you up. I mean, look at what DJ LeMahieu did when he was in Colorado. That's your top end for Drew Romo. He's a contact guy.
Batting champion. Great. Set the bar high, Ben.
No, I'm saying high average, but probably not home runs.
Right.
And probably, empty
average if no one's on base as well. Right.
Like, I mean, that's just it is you got to have a lineup behind you that drives you in. And well, frankly, that's not what we see in Colorado right now. So there we go. But that could be interesting. We'll just kind of leave it at that for right now. Let's continue on here. And you're talking about what are your favorite Nepo babies here on the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's not on the Blue Jays anymore. Kevin Biggio has been DFA'd, and it is overdue. You know, couldn't do the demotion thing. But we got another guy to talk about who's going to replace part of his position within the lineup, but not where he runs around on the field. Mm-hmm. But this really helps a guy like Davis Schneider and everybody out there who, like myself, liked what we saw last year, but wanted to understand what the position was going to be as the offseason went on and Toronto continued to sign utility type, move them around guys. It seemed like Schneider was losing playing time, but luckily with the little bits he was getting in April, he was making the most of it. On the other end, Biggio was not. It's not like it was a one or the other with these guys. Schneider could get sent back down, but Biggio, it was time. When he came up as a prospect, he was power and patience to the point with the patience that he was striking out because he just wasn't being aggressive enough. We've seen the evolution of him as a major league hitter switch. He's solid at OBP, but he is striking out a lot. I believe this year prior to the DFA was at 32%+ strikeout rate, which was a career high for him. And it's, you know, sad to see a guy go that coulda, woulda, shoulda, but he was also an excellent double A guy. That's when he really got on the map with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats team that won the championship that also had Vlad and Bo Bichette on it. Yeah. And now years removed from that, Kevin Biggio is hopefully going to be able to catch on with somebody else in a minor league setup where he can try something different because he doesn't necessarily have anything left to lose by being who he has been. He can try to change a little bit here, and maybe it's a little bit less aggression, earlier in the at-bats, later. I haven't been watching to see the failure. I've just known the failure's happened. So
he seems like he decided to skip 20s Adam Dunn and go straight to mid 30s Adam Dunn in his career. And that's just, it's been not good. Let's just put it that way. And frankly, that's what you see with a lot of the guys that people are trying to say they're in that three true outcome mold. They think they're seeing mid 30s Adam Dunn. They're not seeing, you know, the fact that Adam Dunn was a freaking stud athlete, excellent defender, and still was hitting 240, 250, not 200. Yes, in his 30s, it got down where it was closer to 200. But he's hitting 240 and knocking 40 balls out of the park. There's a big, big difference there.
Absolutely. But that's enough out of a guy who we might never need to roster or worry about rostering.
We do have a request, so we got to play it one time.
Utah! Give me two.
There we go.
You know what I have to say about that?
Blah, 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 blah.
Loading. Never mind. I'm just going to pause it. I'll just leave it. Okay, next one up. Also in Toronto, we got two more Toronto points. Starting pitcher Alek Manoah getting the UCL surgery. This could be...
Oh, man. And he looks so good.
Tommy John also. So,
He
it was short-lived, but...
Yeah.
The big thing here, Ben, to me, is what goes on in the next 18 months right between the eyeballs here. And can he 100%. Stay focused and transition or continue the transition that he was on prior to the injury? Stay positive, stay focused. The Blue Jays are obviously going to be happy about how he finished pitching. Nobody wants the injury, of course, but this was not a worst case scenario as we saw at the end of last season when he didn't want to report back to AAA. And then came into spring training and all this stuff. You know, it wasn't great. So that's a bad bit of pitching news for the Blue Jays front. A good bit of pitching news.
Yeah.
And Ben, you talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, was the fact that Ricky Tiedemann had not thrown a baseball since he had went down and was going to just kind of take a rest. Well, he has now thrown a baseball. I believe it was a bullpen. I don't think he was in a game. I haven't yet updated that since I looked earlier. But back to the mound is the important thing here for Tiedemann. Hopefully we can see him throw some in-game stuff in the next 10 days, and then everybody can start to crank that. When's he going to get called up, trained back up? Because we know Toronto, from Manoah being out, has a gap in the rotation, and a team that wants to be competitive but is still under 500 has some decisions to make whether they want to try to bring him up this year or officially make this a triple-A season for Tiedemann, where he can come up later and still be rookie eligible next year for that draft pick and all that stuff if he's to be good enough to be a rookie of the year. So some good news along with the bad with Toronto.
Yep. Now, this next one you have on here, that Tampa Bay DFA'd Harold Ramirez. I got to tell you, I had a league where I was competitive to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I had really good outfielders. I had really good infielders, except for space. And I was relying on Harold Ramirez as my primary first baseman in that league last year. And it worked. It was an OBP league. And,
okay,
you know, he platooned when he wasn't playing. I didn't accrue stats, but it didn't hurt me. And when he was playing, he was getting on base. I don't think Tampa Bay's lineup issues are going to be solved with Ramirez going away. That is a
no.
That is a lineup that is, quite frankly, a solid stream against lineup right now.
Yeah, it. I mean, individual players fit in lineups in different ways, and I guess they must have realized or told themselves, we are going to be as successful or more successful without him. And that's why they made the move, and they didn't shuffle somebody up or down that they could have to, you know, wiggle room, phantom IL, whatever it may be. But he's out, and I'm assuming he's going to catch on somebody.
But
Oakland, I think, will get first shot at it.
Yeah. And
when I was looking at the A's lineup, I thought, I mean, you could, right? If you're Oakland, you could find a way to give him 20 at bats in a week and see what he can do. But yeah, at the same time,
Is he any different than Brent Rooker? Is he any different than, you know, they got a lot of guys with that similar profile right now in Oakland.
Yeah.
But,
and that's a bit of the scariness, right? Like Abraham Toro goes cold for 10 days and he goes from, you know, leadoff hitter, not getting on base, and then having a few like 1-for-4 type games. And all of a sudden the average drops. Adarsh, tip of the cap to you, DJ Adarsh. But anyway, yeah, with Ramirez, he'll end up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. he wishes he was the fry cook. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Ramirez, where he ends up. We know Gerrit Cole will end up back on a Yankee mound at some point. And good news, I guess, good news, depending on who you like and who you hate. Gerrit Cole has had a successful rehab start. So he is on the way back. And I do strongly suggest, I know everybody hates pitchers in fantasy baseball, and I don't know why, because they always are the reason you've won. You know, you cannot win in most generic leagues with the bullpen approach. You cannot win with one good pitcher. You have to have several. And Gerrit Cole is always a top tier guy. And if the value of pitching is down and Gerrit Cole's coming back and someone's like, hey, I would like to, you know, improve my pitching, this is a good time to try to strike. Get Gerrit Cole for one of your guys who's been overachieving, and it might pay dividends in the end. You might have to do a Crochet plus legitimate hitter, but I think that's a safe bet, because as the year goes on, Crochet is going to need to be limited a little bit for his own career safety, unless, of course, the White Sox, as rumor mills have it, make a deal to send him somewhere, and then it's on the other team that, you know, acquire him to make that smart choice. But either way, Gerrit Cole's back, and I like the idea of buying him. Ben, do you want to roster Cole if you have to trade for him right now?
Well, the leagues where I probably am in it enough to trade for him, I've been sitting on him sitting with him on my IL. So
okay,
I'm actually fielding offers for him. My leagues where I am completely out of it, I have one league where I took over a team this year, and it was, I think, a 4 or 5 person keeper, and that team had and it depended on your round, and it had Austin Riley, it had Strider, it had Cole, it had Pablo Lopez, and it had some other folks. Anyway, I chose not to keep Cole because he had the injury stuff. Down goes my Strider. So I probably would have been stuck just to hold on to Cole and be like, you know what? I may not have him to start, but having him right now to come into a... Oh, and Logan Webb. That's my other pitcher. But I thought, you know, gosh,
okay,
I don't want to throw Riley back into the mix and just go all pitchers, which, of course, right now, Austin Riley back in the mix probably wouldn't have hurt me all that much. And having Gerrit Cole coming back on that team. But of course, I'm like second to last in that league. So I'm quite all right with not pursuing a trade for Gerrit Cole at this moment.
And that, yeah, in that sense, it's understandable. I just looked to see in my home league very quickly here. This is a 14 team 8x8. And I am just looking to see if I might, if there's a guy or two that might be able to get it done who I think will regress. And I got to say here, and my apologies to, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm thinking Ryan Pepiot, Britton. I'm thinking I'm going to look to trade Pepiot plus in a Cole trade. And I've got a hell of a lot of good pitching right now, but I would like to have less bulk Casey Mize type, Kyle Harrison type guys, and, you know, more.
Can't do it.
Tanner Bibee, even. Maybe I could get Pepiot and Tanner, or Tristan McKenzie, who for some reason is doing okay. I mean, whatever, not doing okay.
He's walking the world, but yeah.
Yeah, he's got stats that are hurting his season ranks, but he can also help your lineup depending on who's around him. Maybe I'll try to think of something like that. But anyway, enough of that. In news that is good for everybody in fantasy baseball, Miami has released Avisel Garcia, who is the outfield version of Wade Miley. So,
and Chad brings up, and this is one guy I do have stored on that team that I just mentioned that's in such terrible shape, is Robbie Ray, who could be, getting close. And he's a guy that I think is going to be, he's going to help a lot of leagues, but also remember that this is Robbie Ray, who's had about an every third year type of career.
He's had more bad seasons than good ones, and yep. That's going to play into the rest of the year. I had in my same home league, I had somebody asking for a relatively good pitcher right now that was healthy it was a draft pick. I'm sorry. No, he ended up coming back with a draft pick. My fourth round pick for his last round pick in Robbie Ray, just because I had room on my IL and he didn't. And then he ended up making a trade where he got some trash pitcher that was healthy for Robbie Ray. And I'm like, well, I would have done that one. But I'm skeptical of Robbie Ray coming back and being really effective. And now he could be your SP4 type, but I don't think he's going to come back and be your league winner. Because new home, you know, a lot of transition within the family at that. Like, he went to Seattle to stay and play there. And then it just didn't go well. So he's got to have redemption on his mind, but he's got to get innings.
If you're looking for strikeouts, that's probably a good guy for that. But understand that your ratios could take a pretty tough hit.
Yeah, it could be very Tristan McKenzie-like.
There you go.
High era. You got some reasons to be skeptical.
Yep.
So former Arizona Diamondback, Logan Allen, not that Logan Allen that was from Cleveland.
What about that Logan Allen?
The one that
or the other Logan Allen? Or that?
Yeah, this is the one who was along first on his road, former Colorado Rocky. Also, he had a poor outing over the weekend. Honestly, I didn't think he was horrible otherwise. And now he's gone, DFA'd. So I don't think it matters, but I had him in a league, so I just wanted to make mention of that. We also had signed with the White Sox, who's the umpteenth guy, like Michael Chavis, who signed with the White Sox this year. Ben, do we care at all about this? Once upon a time, he was injured. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, the only reason that we should care is because the White Sox should kind of have an infinite rotating door and
of opportunity for players like that.
if anyone can get hot, there's a chance they can stick. But yeah, no, I have no desire. He's got to show me at this point. I'm not going to jump into him at all. Frankly, I'm not going to jump into any White Sox player because I still assume that you're going to see a lot of time out of guys that they have sitting in their minor league system right now. So, yeah.
Right. And we'll get to one that we know for sure has been given the call up. The last bit of news that we care about here, Seattle has outrighted Luis Urias from the roster. It's unfortunate. There were a lot of people who thought this guy had a shot at making an impact, very much like 15 other guys on other teams who were late round picks in redraft or scraping the bottom of the dynasty barrel. It did not work out. I didn't have high hopes for it myself, but of course I would like to be wrong on players like him. Same deal. I kind of put my chips on Abraham Toro, former Mariner, and it has been not a horrific mess so far. But anyway, what everybody really came here for tonight, Ben, it's now time for the Jesus Take the Wheel pick at minute 28 and 45 seconds. This week, it's Jose Suarez of the Los Angeles Angels. What? Come on, Rob. He's 0% rostered on Yahoo. I know his numbers for the year look gross. 31 and two-thirds innings, a 6.54 ERA, zero save holds, one win, zero anythings. He's not been good. However, the last month, Ben, although it's only been 10 and a third innings, he's got a 2.61 ERA. He's been controlling things, getting things under control. It was a very terrible start for him. And if you're like, well, last year he pitched 33 and two-thirds. He got hurt. He got hurt last year, and he sucked before that. And we've seen that with a lot of other players in the past who have had that. And he's now going to be in the rotation with the Angels. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I tried so hard. I can't rise above it. I don't know what it is about that Jose Suarez loving, but I like him.
I'm worried for you here right now.
I want to roster some more of him. I do have him in one dynasty league, full disclosure, so his success would help me. But in that particular league, I think I have 8 starting pitchers in a 30-team league, which is a ton of starting pitching options. I'm looking to see who he's taken on first this week, and it's the sub-500 Diamondbacks. And he should get a Sunday start, if my mathematics are correct. And that is going to put him up against the Giants. So two all right matchups for him this week. And then I always like to think about the third matchup, and we'll look into that next week. But that's the guy for me this week, Jose Suarez, who 2 years ago, Ben, was very popular as a sleeper pitcher. And because of the injuries and the poor performance last year, just fell off the mountain. Of a prospecty or sleeper type pitcher. And now we'll see what comes out, because I like to let Jesus take the wheel. So that's it for that pick. And Ben, do you want to get into the injury news?
I suppose a sad day.
Here, let's find
Britain. Britain's getting you here.
Yeah, absolutely, Britain. It does. He is my Pepiot. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that that's where he's going to end up, your Pepiot, that is, but I love what I saw, and there was a lot of Dynasty shares available way back when. So, but anyway, let's move on here. I've got a segment transition noise for us. Oh, that was terrible. Just like the transition. Okay. So anyway, injury follow here at minute 31 and 30 seconds. Yeah. I try my best. I do some technologies.
All right. Well, the big one that I think could have been in the later portion of this show is Milwaukee pitcher Robert Gasser. And it just seems like they had some interesting arms in Gasser and Hall and all these guys that everyone was hoping could come up and be the back end guys for Milwaukee. And they just, either with performance and or injury, not so much.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying to confirm pronunciation on someone that I'm going to talk about later. And just cause I care and I want everybody to get it, I wanted to look it up, but I will figure out my enunciation later, because we're going to talk about Tommy Pham. That's right. The fantasy football league hater himself. He's on the IL. He's been playing well for the White Sox too. I don't remember if Pilar, I feel like Pilar was with the White Sox and he left, and he's now having success with the Angels. Came up. Yeah. It was something within. So I don't know if they crossed over. It doesn't matter whether they did or not, but just more of that veteran thing going back
to the team. Don't cross streams.
That's right.
Not cross streams.
Yeah. So fam out hurts, and we can talk about what that fallout will be afterwards. Cincinnati also had once upon a time elite prospect Brandon Williamson, the starting pitcher, shut down as he was rehabbing his way back, I believe. And that is now on pause. We've got San Diego starting pitcher Joe Musgrove with a bone spur. We talked a little bit about the issues with San Diego's health a week ago, and kind of Adam Mazur was one of the guys that got called up. Randy Vasquez starting as well. Mm-hmm. We can dive into those guys later if we need to. Shocking news from Rockies land, Chris Bryant to the IL.
Wow, dude.
That is, and remember, the hate from the fan base with the Arenado trade. They stole Gomber, just kidding, and then ended up putting what could have been Arenado money into Chris Bryant. Now, Arenado is not the elite slugging guy he, you know, once was. I roster him in a league I care deeply about, and his lack of power is obvious every time I look at when I'm losing a home run stat for the week. But Bryant has just been horrible from a health standpoint. Oh, yeah. And I mean, he's at the Josh Donaldson need a lifestyle change point of his career, where he's got to sort something out. He's got to change, you know, the waves going on, you know, well, blood cell stuff, something, so he can bounce back from bumps and bruises faster.
Here's what stinks for Bryant. He came into this year working and preparing to play first base. He's been injured twice, both of them because the Rockies have crap for depth in their outfield, and he ends up playing some outfield.
Whoa. Sean Bouchard.
A rare guy that runs slower than Chris Bryant, but yes.
But he got hurt, so that's where the protection was lost. Was Bouchard goes down and Bryant is pooched, sent to the outfield, yeah.
Yeah, but that's – why do teams keep trying to do this with certain players? But he's – he's got this kind of money.
It looks like anyone can play it, right? Yeah, you're right, Ben. He's got franchise money, so you don't move him around. His move is to DH, and they haven't done – they didn't do it, and now he's hurt again. And it was very much like the third base idea of like, oh, well, he's not going to play third base. They've got – a future, you know, third baseman, and like, what's that going to do for these prospects? Like, you let the guy play the position because you're paying him to do that, or you're paying him to go into whatever, like you said, the first base position. Let him get there, but don't go throwing him in the outfield and doing things that are bad for his body or things that he shouldn't be doing. They're not doing a good job of protecting him as an asset, and or he's not doing a good job of being a professional for the team that he's with. He's getting close to Anthony Rendon, terrible contract here. And I feel like his is longer also. I don't know if the money's a lot different, but anyway, that's enough of the millionaires. Let's get to the millionaires.
Royce Lewis just hit a home run to make everyone's Chris Paddock share look good tonight. Just one.
Oh, sweet. I looked to pick up Paddock in a league for the two-start week, and I opted not to overbid. So great. Now I'm going to regret that. Thanks for the update, Ben.
Well, I just, anytime Royce Lewis does positive things, right, it makes me happy because he is a really fun player to watch. So, you know, that's, but this is in Minnesota. It's not even in Coors. So, you know, it's impressive, you know,
Coors.
That he's,
I feel like you're trying to work those in. I got to be out like that.
Maybe
just so everyone knows.
But no, that's in all seriousness, though. But the, you know, Correa's hitting well. Lewis is hitting well this game. And it was against Dakota Hudson, who's actually had a pretty solid season. Not, I don't know that I would trust it to be continue going this well, but thus far it's been not going to hurt you. So,
oh, that's, you're talking like I do. You're not talking about assets. You're talking about limiting liability.
Hey. Diego Castillo just came in the game. I honestly did not realize that the Twins.
Yes, he was playing well at AAA, Ben. Oh, so this is the pain. He was playing well at AAA. He got called up. I think his first appearance or his second appearance, he gave up two runs. I'm like, well, there goes the look of his stat line. No one's going to want him. I picked him up in one of my 30 team leagues, shoved him in there, and I'm like, we're just going to cross our fingers that he can pick up some holds. This is a guy who is ended a few ball games before, right? He's been at the back of the bullpen on decent teams. I like the possibility here, but again, this is a slow play and certainly a safe hold league, not a save exclusive. I like it. He's an interesting guy. But anyway, I guess Cade Horton.
Yeah, he went under my radar. Just he was signed by the Rangers and then released by them at the very end of spring training. And I thought my mind just went to, oh, he's going to be one of the 12 guys to get a save for the Rangers this year. And I just kind of eliminated him from my ideas. So there we go.
That's where the not that they sponsor us yet, Yahoo, you can do the player watch, you know, like I'm interested in the guy and I can click on the watch. And I mean, you can do that with lots of sites, but I'm only going to mention the one that should probably sponsor us immediately. So Cade Horton, shut down subscapulous strain. It doesn't sound good.
No.
And if you think a subscapulous strain sounds bad, how about this as my note? Jose Iriquety under the knife, 2024 over. Oh, you don't think that was bad? How about Christian Javier? Tommy John. Bad news for some pitchers. It's unfortunate. And I hope Horton's not a long one.
Yeah, it sounds like he's expected back, but that's also an expected back with no definitive timeline that's been given so far. So that
sounds very Tiedemann-y to me.
Yeah, doesn't it? the Houston thing, I will say, we're not at the point where they've really started to reach into their minor leagues, but they do have a few guys that folks should be looking at. The one, and I'm going to butcher his freaking name, but AJ Blueball. And because I don't want to say what that name could sound like, but AJ Blueball has been performing really well in pitching at, I believe, AAA, upper minors regardless. And definitely a guy that you should have if you have a really deep minor league system. Toss him in there because he's going to have a chance to get some major league time.
Oh, okay. All right, there we go. Note that one, everybody. They also have, and I'm going to have to look now because I was moving on to the next one, but you know what? It's just fun to tell people the names. I've got to go into one of my, of course I do, into one of my dynasty leagues where I felt like I drafted well last year and go down to Eric Gotti is in this one. Tyler Guilfoyle is another potential Houston guy. And Rhett Kubba. K-O-U-B-A. These are a couple other names to watch if, you know, if the levy breaks in Houston and they need to replace, do the Baltimore thing and replace their entire rotation once or twice over. Same with Milwaukee, I guess. But let's take that and let's lead it into who's up now for us, which we are at minute 41. And oh my God, Ben, we haven't even hit the 90-minute mark yet.
Yeah.
And we're on to the beak of this one. Good for us.
Aren't we doing great?
It must be the sound effects and how I don't know how to use them. Speeding us through.
Something like that.
Anyway, you weren't crying. I almost said you were crying. You were pleading with the Orioles to give Cade Povich a shot. They did, and you were rewarded. Are you going to show the line? Do you want to show the line?
I just did. But, you know,
third innings. He got pumped by the Blue Jays. He now has a 10-13 ERA. He's been picked up and dropped in my home league. 2 Ks in the 5 and a third. It's your first start. I can't imagine how incredibly stressful that would be, how fascinating it would be, and how hard it would be to be as accurate as you've been, you know, for all those other big starts in your life. He will get another shot, and I believe that will be it because he's the sixth in a six-man rotation right now. But I mean, what are you thinking, Ben? Do you think he should get two more starts, or do you think the one and back down is going to be enough for him for now?
Well, the one thing that I noted, and if you were looking when I just threw that line up a bit ago, the 238 average, guys were not taking comfortable swings. He gave extra base runners on 4 walks, which has not been something he's really done a lot this year. So, yeah, I really think he should certainly see another start. I can't tell you that he's going to get two. But
well, he'll be able to light up Atlanta, right? Like, they're horrible.
You know, yeah, I just, if I could tell you why, now, if he were pitching for the other team in the Baltimore area, for the Nationals, he would absolutely be dynamite against the Braves, because for some freaking reason they can't hit National starters. I don't know why that is, but
I think the Nationals are just playing good baseball. They're not winning as much as, you know, they were earlier in the year, but they're still competitive. You know, like, their lineup's odd, but for some reason they haven't had like a 1-10 stretch, you know, of just like fallen right out. Like, sorry, they're not on a 1-10 stretch of just fallen right out of it. But yeah, so okay, so we'll see if Povich is still, 1 week from today, I guess we'll know, Ben, if Povich is still up. That means that he dominated Atlanta, which again, you know, that's not saying much.
Wow,
now.
Boom.
Yeah, I think you're setting up the dang sound effects now.
I set that one. But anyway, let's move on to Seattle's first base slash, what is he on Yahoo here? I'm just on Yahoo tonight, so I'm looking at it all.
Patience, Eddie. Patience. We're gonna get to him. We're gonna get to Carlos Rodriguez for those who can't see the YouTube right now. Eddie's asking about him. He's on the list here. Trust me.
This is the Palazzo Podcast. We'll be right back after this complete waste of time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, we're getting to first base, third base, if you're playing on Yahoo, eligible. Tyler Locklear of the Mariners, who's had one entire game, and in said game, he got a RBI, a strikeout, a run, and a hit. Congratulations, you're in the show. And at a 250 line, 750 OPS, we've learned nothing yet, except that he got a hit, which is great. I think he's going to stick around for a little bit. I believe there's opportunity.
Yeah,
Seattle will take the hot hand because they are not, you know, no one is doing amazing things on the Mariners. So if he can come in and contribute, Luke Raley has picked it up, as I think we mentioned a week or two ago, but they will move him in and out. Whereas Locklear, I'm sure, is supposed to be playing, not sitting with this promotion.
Yeah.
And Ben, do you want to take the floor with the next guy here? I'll just say that this is a often traded prospect that was drool worthy prior to the three team swap he performed this offseason, but he's up.
And I don't. So Drew Thorpe is who we're talking about with the White Sox. White Sox are going to do this churn and burn in from AA to the majors. Their AAA squad is full of a whole bunch of guys that are going to come up and eat extra innings in their bullpen this year. Probably not guys that are going to come up and start for them. But that AA rotation, just has some names on it right now. Iriarte, Schultz. I mean, it's a fun rotation to sit on the Birmingham Barons right now. But they just called up Drew Thorpe. The changeup plays. it's going to be a darn good changeup. My question is, does he end up playing to a back end number four starter that doesn't give you any real talent or any real strikeouts? You know, might keep your ratios okay, but you know, the 180 inning, 125 strikeout sort of guy, or is he going to actually have some strikeout stuff in the majors? Like I said, that changeup is legit. He led the minor leagues in strikeouts a year ago because of how good that changeup was. But also remember, he was pitching against A-ball guys, mm-hmm. and they were struggling with a really good changeup, which is not surprising. So you'll have to see. He's not going to have a great defense behind him. He's not going to have a lineup that'll give you wins more than likely. But this should be a good chance for you to see for sure going into next year where to value him, because I cannot imagine that the White Sox are calling him up for a single start and sending him back down. They're going to give him a little bit of run.
Yeah, that would be very odd.
They're going to give him some run, and we're going to have an idea going into next year what we have here with Drew Thorpe.
Yeah, and if the White Sox do what they, I'm sure they're hoping to do, which is take a couple of guys that are on the team and turn them into future prospects future MLBers with a lot more control than whoever these players are that they'd be dealing away, or multiple players for one, we're going to get to see Thorpe for a while. But it depends on exactly what happens over the next, 10 to 15 days as far as, his starts, next three starts. And now we can get to a guy that is exciting for me, although the results don't look good. The AAA line this year, Ben, 62 and two-thirds innings, giving up 36 runs, 29 walks, none of them intentional, 66 strikeouts. He hit four guys. He's got a 4-5 record with a 5.17 ERA. I'm talking about Carlos F. It Rodriguez, who is the next man up with Milwaukee on the fun, exciting game show of who could you disappoint more. And I think, I love this. A year ago, I thought he was doing really well. I think he finished the year at AAA. He finished the year at AAA. One start, and then went back there this year, and he's now got 13 AAA starts under his belt, which is not a lot of innings, people, to get up to MLB, and he is young. What is he, 22?
So the big thing, I am going to, let's see if I can do this. I'm trying to enlarge this, but there we go. Look at that.
You have to say enhance.
Yeah, there you go. So if we go right here, take a look.
There we go.
After April, six starts, and it's been darn good. 40 strikeouts over 35 innings. And the
nine
big thing,
walks.
Nine walks total. That's a big deal. So less than one whip since April. That's why he's getting the call right now. And I think a lot of folks are looking at the season stats, which, a 5.17 doesn't look great. A 1.29 whip, still not that great. But if you go on to the, May and June, he's been just excellent in the last few years. Their last few weeks. So,
we'll give June as the entire month. Joe says, when will we start to properly call walks by their true name, unintentional walks? Without that, it's chaos, I tell you. We'll have no food. We'll have no jobs. Our pets' heads will fall off. Well, look, Joe, you can always find a PD to turn your luck around. And if you get the reference, right on. Now, another Milwaukee call-up of a different caliber is James Meeker, a 29-year-old tweaker. James is getting his first taste of MLB. I've got to double-check my stat line here so I don't mess it up. My apologies on the didn't have my stats in front of me. So in AA and AAA, 18 games this year, He is a relief pitcher. Just to be clear, relief pitcher, not a starter here. In 27 innings pitched, 30 strikeouts, which is fine. 12 walks, which we're not in love with, but only one home run given up and a 2.67 ERA. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Milwaukee's bullpen in general, but like maybe he'll be decent for points formats or some kind of a flyer for you. And we could see exactly what Meeker's throwing and how well it's working. At age 29, this is a total shot in the dark, but I like these kind of guys because I think teams just like let him eat, you know, they don't put restrictions on older guys like this that come up. They want to see what they can do. Whereas you get some of the younger guys and it seems to be coddled. And then, you know, we all know what Miami did with Meyer earlier this year. So, Ben, I would like to now discuss with you the promotion that should not be with your Hotlanta Braves with second or third, I would say the third most often picked pitcher in your first year player drafts from last year, with only Yamamoto and Skeens ahead of him, Hurston Waldrop. What say you with this promotion?
I honestly, the promotion didn't surprise me. And I know a lot of folks are going back and are harping on what he was doing statistically at AA. It's important to note that he was working with the Braves on changing a number of things in AA. And he took off in that last few starts. I mean, similar, we looked at Carlos Rodriguez's numbers, similar way, he really took off in about the last four or five starts, got a promotion to AAA. I thought when Spencer Schwellenbach was called up that Waldrop was going to be the guy getting that call, because that is what I heard. Waldrop really threw well for a couple innings, and then he got hit real hard by a Keibert Ruiz home run and then just completely lost the strike zone, and it dovetailed on him. And that is going to be a risk you have with him. He's going to be a high risk, high reward type of pitcher that's going to give you plenty of strikeouts on some days. He's also going to give you plenty of issues on other days where the strikeouts the strikeouts aren't worth everything else.
Right.
But he is, from everyone that I've talked to down in Mississippi, they were surprised that Schwellenbach was the call. Now, if you're asking me rest of season,
Schwellenbach
is the guy that you want in redraft type of leagues, because I think he's up, and I would be very surprised if he goes back down. Waldrop may be getting a bump down, sort of. He might be on that train a little bit along the same lines as AJ Smith-Shaver, because they want to continue to see him get certain work done within his delivery. The upside for Schwellenbach at best is a mid-rotation starter. So if they're getting number five work out of him, that's not a whole lot different than what they're expecting. If they're getting on again, off again, starting out of AJ Smith-Shaver or out of Waldrop, these are guys that they think could have a potential as a top of the rotation arm. And they want to make sure that they're right going into next year, because the Braves do lose my Cy Young pick for this year, Mr. Max Fried, after the season. And Fried is having one hell of a year on a contract year, and probably is going to end up pitching in San Francisco for Joe's Giants, because he's
California.
No.
He's going to Washington.
Well, but see, the Giants get rid of a whole bunch of really good – the Giants get rid of a bunch of contracts, and that's why I'm making that comment, is that they're going to have room to dive into the pitching market better. Snell's only a one-year guy. You know, they've got a number of contracts coming off the books where they could dive into and get an ace this offseason, and there should be a couple available in Corbin Burns and Max Fried and that type of guys. So, but yeah, if Anthopoulos wanted him, he'd be there already. He'd be signed long-term already. And it sounds like there hasn't ever been a long-term overture made. There's been some
which is fair.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like that's how the market plays out right now. Like, you know, Anthopoulos is a smart general manager. He's locked up the hitters and he's getting veteran pitching and he's supplementing his shortcomings with developing pitching, which hasn't been horrible. There's been a lot of injuries and a lot of good pitchers with the Braves, but he's supplementing rotations with veterans like Charlie Morton and now Chris Sale. And he's, you know, dated back further. He's done that. And it's been to the benefit of Braves fans who have got to see these guys. Now, if Ian Anderson didn't have, you know, setbacks and injuries, he could be right in the heart of that rotation too.
And Ian is on his way back right now. So there's another one as far as
which I wanted to ask you about, because he doesn't yet have registered stats. And I don't have a, you know, I don't have a live cam like you do on everything Atlanta. So I haven't been seeing if he's been throwing or, you know, what exactly he's doing, if he's up on a mound yet. But I did, you know, I did make two dynasty plays for him this offseason, got him in one. The other one is one of those, let's see, once he's pitching again, guys. So basically, like, I want him to throw five innings and then you pay me with better prospects. But yeah, I'm interested to know, because I feel like Atlanta has a lot of options. It's just a matter of, like, are they legit, like you said, you know, with SP5 type guys or SP3 peaks? Like, where are the SP1, 2s? Because if Fried's gone, then we've got a bigger conversation in the offseason as far as what's the peak for this offensive potentially yep. offensive juggernaut. When, I mean, you know, you got Austin Riley's got to wake the F up as well. But you've got talent that's on the offensive side, and you're not going to want to trade it in order to level off with pitching, because that's just going to cost you wins to try to get them. So what are they going to do? And it'll be interesting. But if Waltrip can get a couple starts here, make a positive impression, like you said, Ben, maybe head back down, and we'll see what they do rest of season. But a guy I think could be up rest of season, going back to our Chris Bryant discussion, is Colorado's latest call-up, Hot Prospecto. Is it Adela Amador?
Adele Amador. So, yeah, something like that.
That was close. Yeah. And I watched a video on Adele. MLB's. Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, that's why I went with Adele. Yeah, exactly. But I watched a video on MLB's Instagram, and it was his teammates from minor watching him get his first MLB hit. And it reminded me of when I started my truck and drove it on the road. I don't know if I mentioned that it's on the road. It's equally as exciting as getting your first MLB hit, getting a safety that says this is road. Anyway, so he's only been in one game up to tonight's recording. Greg Jones also called up. He was traded from Tampa Bay. Coors. He's also with Colorado. Yeah, that's right. In Coors. Each have had one game. Ben, you got some thoughts on these fellas?
Amador is a guy who I think a lot, he's going to have the Carlos Rodriguez treatment. For those who are just stat-line scouting, if I can spit it out, that'd be great. They're going to go, why on earth are you calling up a guy who's been this bad all year? And, you know, he's got a six-something OPS and all this stuff. Amador, I believe, has led all of AA in home runs over the last 2 weeks. From a middle infield prospect. He's a guy who turned it on. He worked through some stuff right away, but he's turned it on the last couple of weeks, and he's looked legit. Colorado, with their big-time prospects, unless there's a reason, which with Drew Romo, for instance, that was defense. They wanted him to go catch junk ballers that they had sitting in AAA, because that'll get him used to the Colorado air, and then he can understand what he's going to have to do once he becomes a catcher in Colorado. But Amador and a lot of these guys, they're going to more than likely come up straight from AA, because that's their most neutral environment in their system, pitchers and hitters. And so it gives them a good idea. So is this guy a guy, or is he just beating the crap out of the ball because we have a really hitter-friendly ballpark in low A or high A or triple A. And no, I think Amador is a guy to watch. I would put a similar caution as I did with Ezekiel Tovar when he came up, that this is not a guy that you're likely going to get, you know, huge, you know, 25 home runs, 30 steals. You know, I don't know that that's coming out of him at all. But you're playing in Coors. That's going to help the batting average. Then add in, should be double digit, both power and speed. That's a pretty solid player to have up the middle, most likely.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a million Colorado outfielder potential guys long term. They need to figure out who the three like main dudes are, or at least the main the four that they want to give the at bats to. Blackman's not one of them, but who are the guys? And if it is, you know, if Greg Jones, which I don't know that it is Greg Jones. I feel like it's going to be Nolan Jones, and as soon as they can, they're going to get him up or get him back up. I know he's rehabbing at AAA. You got Amador, you got other options. It's exciting from the standpoint of like there's playing opportunity here. But whereas at the start of the year I thought like, well, it was Bouchard's job to lose. Now I feel like Bouchard's out and like it's a whole new crew with Beck. Like there's so many options now.
Yeah.
Somebody's gotta just like steal a job or two here.
Amador is gonna be their second baseman. They lost Brendan Rodgers, and so he's got a clear path to second base at bats. But yeah, I you're not wrong on that as far as what's it going to look like the rest of the way, because that's going to be a very good question. Who's going to be that next guy? Who's going to be, because they have some outfielders. Chad's favorite boy, Zach Veen, continues to have a pretty interesting year.
Ooh, in kindly worded, kindly worded.
I'm working so hard.
Michael Togli is up. I just had to look. I'm like, who's the a-hole that I had earlier in the year and dropped him? And it's Michael Toglia. Like Jake Cave is still like, not that they need to start cutting guys early mid-June here, but when they're ready for the transition, like Hunter Goodman has not been hitting. Like he should go back and get a confidence boost. And I don't know what kind of a woman he dates. You know, it's probably an ugly girlfriend. Guy needs some more confidence, you know. But there are players on this team that need to earn at bats, not just be given them. So hopefully we'll see that. Because, like, I'm looking here, like, Blackman, Tovar, Elias Diaz, McMahon, Brenton Doyle. Like, Doyle's, you know, no. Cave, Toglia, no. Like, where's the guys? And if you're going to give... if you're going to give Doyle a regular spot, then the other guys need to be big power bats. That you need multiple RBI guys taking walks. You need that on your major league team, especially in that outfield. You can't just have prospect after prospect come up and like, let's see what they got for 30 at bats. Cause all of a sudden that's 150 at bats at a position and how many innings ended.
And that's where a guy like Yankiel Fernandez, he's been hitting very well since May 1st, and he's the type of guy that really fits that mold. The power just hasn't jumped up. But anyway, Joe's mad at us. We missed a good.
Yeah, missed the easy joke. Always take the easy joke. Hunter Goodman, more like Hunter Badman. Ben, am I right? That's what Joe said. I mean, I don't know. That joke sounded a little Blake Dunn to me. Huh? Transitioning. Ooh. Let's go to Cincinnati. Let's go to the player pulling a Will Benson level debut. Blake Dunn, 1-for-9 after getting the call up. His saving grace, I will say, Ben, is only one strikeout. And I mean, again, we go from one crowded outfield to another crowded outfield with Cincinnati this time. I like that Dunn got called up. I mean, he wasn't crushing it like he was last year, but it's good that they're giving him a shot and maybe he'll get a few at bats in a week or two and he'll be right back down. Ideally go back down with a bunch of confidence that he got his first time up in the show, gets himself a $40,000 paycheck as well for minimum time over 2 weeks. And he can head back down with some bucks in his pocket and hopefully really pick it up after this. Not that he can't turn it around, you know, go 3 for 4 tomorrow night. But just realistically thinking here, Blake Dunn, I didn't think was coming up. So I was a little surprised to see it. Happy at the same time to see it, but. Yeah.
And only played left field. That's the thing to me that, I mean, right. Not that he is a.
Like, who's he think he is? Chris Bryant?
Well, yeah. And not like he's an elite defender in the outfield, but he is a guy who's played a lot of center field the last few years, and he's got that legit speed. And the fact that he's only getting time in left field in the majors should maybe say something about his future defensive home.
Well, Will Benson, though, moved around. I'm just going to look right now. He's been moving around a lot. He is 21 in left, 31 in center, 24 in right. So perhaps, which again, if you're in a league where you need 20 games in one season to repeat your position, having Will Benson is excellent if you are in a left, right, center field setup. Just note that out there, everybody. Fantrax specifically. But Dunn might just not be getting that opportunity yet, or maybe they would like to try him in a specific ballpark or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to give him a break. I guess maybe I should be a little more critical, but I just think he was struggling at the minors, and the fact he got a call up said something about the organization's feelings towards him more so than the results like you were describing earlier with whoever the hell it was, some other person, some other bum that was underperforming. But anyway, somebody who was performing very well at AAA, and I am terrified about what the big league club is going to do with him, is Toronto utility slash possible second baseman Spencer Horowitz. This is the fallout from the Biggio. DFA is Horowitz is up and hopefully plays. I mean, he was a hot guy after the 2022 season as a prospect. And then last year it was like, oh man, like this guy could be good. And I remember people talking about him being a first baseman, which is really confusing when you've got Vladdy at first to talk about how he could be, you know, that same position. Like it just, you know, it was like Rowdy Tellez also being there. Like, doesn't make sense, right? You gotta find at bat somewhere. So Horowitz now with a little bit of second base time, because in Toronto, everybody can play second base except for Vladdy.
Well, you never know.
I think that's what they're going to do, is they're going to try to find a spot for him, much like David Schneider moving left field, second base. If he can hit, if Horowitz can take some walks, if he can extend innings, move base runner, you know, be a major league hitter. That's something Toronto desperately needs. And I will be very interested to see where they use him, you know, where manager John Schneider puts him in the lineup. If he's starting, where is he hitting? And I don't mean like right away. I mean, if he's up for 30 games, what are they going to do? Because they move guys around a little bit more than you'd like. David Schneider is not a leadoff hitter. He's hitting leadoff, though.
Yeah.
So I saw that. What is the game plan here for Horowitz? Are you going to try to treat him like a 4-5-6 guy, or are you going to put him in the back and let him kind of earn a promotion up higher in the lineup? I am interested to know. But I'm also very hesitant to put him in any of my lineups or to pick him up in redraft, because I don't know what the playing time is going to be like. And for that, I'll probably miss out on him in a lot of redrafts where people that have a lot of injuries are just going to take him and then hope for the best. Whereas I'm going to be a little more cautious, having witnessed the Blue Jays muck up playing time over and over and over again with guys. So,
So
do you know anything about the next guy?
I was just going to say, I'm looking at the stat line here and I'm like, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, just
pull it up for people.
Oh, yep.
Doo-doo. Just cause I can't.
And we'll do a little,
you have to say enhance. Enhance.
Enhance. Enhance.
So the player we'll describe or discuss here is relief pitcher, Oakland A's.
Michael?
Maybe? Yeah. We'll go with Michael. There's Otani? No A.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the new Otani. Yes. Is up. Yeah. So relief pitcher. Let me see.
This is his third organization. He started out, the Mets had signed him. And for some reason, after 2020, I don't know why, after he missed the 2020 year, which we all did, but that's a whole nother deal, they decided he was no longer good enough to start, and moved him completely to the bullpen. And 2 years later, he was a minor league free agent, posted a 6 ERA with Arizona, so he was a minor league free agent again. But he's been doing a lot better with Oakland, and 45 strikeouts in 29 and a third innings.
Mm-hmm.
That could play. And that's a bullpen that just lost Lucas Ersig. You know, they basically, and Mason Miller's coming down back to earth to some degree. I'm not going to say he's done, he's overselling him or anything like that. But
Otanias is the new closer, Ben. Is that you've said it here first?
No, I'm saying he might be a guy that could quit. They're going to be open to having someone work into holds. And with Miller, they've not been eager to give him back-to-back days. So there have been available saves in that Oakland bullpen. Of course, they have to win first, but that's another issue.
Well, Mitch Spence is actually looking decent, and J.P. Sears is holding his own. It's bums like Hogan Harris and Luis Medina who are ruining it, and Estes.
Their starters haven't been bad. It's been the fact that they can't support them. They have to score runs in order to win games. It's a complex mathematical thing. And I know I said there'd be no math. So,
well, like once upon a time, Danny Jimenez, former minor league Rule 5 guy, I think he was. He was thought of as potential guy. He got hurt. They also had, I'm trying to find him here. I don't think he's hurt. 2 years ago they had a guy who was effective and people are like, oh, the stat line doesn't make sense. I've gone too far back down now. Nothing like forgetting the name when you begin talking about the player.
Well,
Zach Jackson, who would come up and he was like of interest in save hold. But I mean, he's fallen off a cliff. So they're up for a guy is what I'm trying to say.
I thought maybe you were talking about Domingo Acevedo, because that was another guy that they were willing to give a chance to until he, posted an 11 ERA or whatever it was. So
they are kind with their opportunities. So we'll see if Otanias can do it. I mean, again, they're suffering from losing middle relief guys. You know, like they've lost all sorts of play, like starting pitchers, middle relief guys. They've got Sean Newcomb is pitching in this bullpen. A week ago, they only had the Olagalulan guy. Now, Scott Alexander, TJ McFarland, Sean Newcomb are the lefties in there. And Otanias joins up. So I just think it's interesting because he's not young, not old.
Sean Newcomb was an acquisition by the Braves when they rebuilt. And the Braves are on, I believe they're working on their sixth straight NL East championship. So that kind of tells you where, how long Sean Newcomb has just been bouncing around, because
30 years young, Sean Newcomb, I would not have thought,
that doesn't surprise me.
Otanias is 26, almost 27. He'll be 27 later this year, late, like in 10 days or so. So good for him. The last guy that I want to talk about was somebody we briefly mentioned. Joe, if we made up a name for the A's bullpen, he'd still believe me. Yeah, I mean, unless I said Honeywell, right? Because you guys all know that's going to be the closer for the Pirates down the stretch.
Yeah.
It will happen. I will occupy Pittsburgh. That's what I'll do to make that happen. But Cleveland... Shortstop, third baseman, Daniel Schneeman, I felt worthy of a mention after an abbreviated week of playing time, but 385, 1171 OPS, and most importantly to me, 5 walks to 4 strikeouts. It's been nice. It's been nice to see somebody, and I think I don't know if he played any short or not, but I feel like it helped Brian Rocchio to wake the F up as well, because I think he's responded in a somewhat favorable way. I have both of them in one points league, and I won last week. So very exciting. I'm not on quite the tear that Govier's been on with it, but we can't all win 6 in a row after starting 0-4. That's the first Govier shot tonight. Good for me.
Jeez.
I waited. I got to make sure that he did win, though, now that I've said that he won six in a row.
So
no, for what he lost. Oops, he won five in a row. But he's 500 after 10 weeks after starting 0-4, so good on him.
For what it's worth, I mean, Schneeman went four games in a row with a hit. And he played all over, second base, third base, shortstop, center field, left field, right field. So
oh, wow.
Cleveland was looking to get him in the game. You know, that's...
Huh. Sorry, I'm just looking on Fantrax at the bottom where they say the positions, right? But it's two at first base, or sorry, two at second base, and then one at third, three at short. So he must be moving around in-game.
Yeah,
because yep. He hasn't been up long enough to have had nine different positions. So
no,
that's excellent though that they're moving him around. Heck, I'll take it.
He played center field and short in one game. He played short, second, and third in one game. So I mean, yeah, he's getting his work around the infield. And I was wrong. He started off his career with hits in five straight games.
Nice.
And then went hitless in three plate appearances against Miami, but he got pulled in the seventh innings. But still, that's a nice start to a career. You'll take that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. And that's been a successful, I would say, last seven or so days for call-ups. We covered it, Ben. We got everybody up to snuff, and I think we can table who could we see next and maybe some minor league promotions and things like that. That could be next week's show. I got to fix my truck, right? I got to fix my truck. I got to order parts for my truck. I got greasy hands here. It's hard to see, but this is oil laden. And I am one day away from having some vacation time. I got so many things to do. I need that truck running and driving to do it.
What is this thing? Vacation time?
Yeah. So as a chef, this is new to me also. They call it termination or the place you work at closes, but yeah, I've got some vacation days and I've got to use them up by the end of June. So I'm using them. I'm going to take some time hopefully to get a bunch of stuff done in and around the house. But at the same time, I want to make sure we're keeping up with our fantasy baseball with everybody. So, let's see, where are we sitting for the YouTube subscribers here?
There we go. Right up there. Pulling her right up for everyone.
795. That's perfect. I almost thought we should wait and not stop this podcast broadcast until we were over 800. But I think I'll wait till next week. And I'll say if we're not over 800 when we start recording next week, we won't stop until we're at 800. So please, for the love of God, be over 800 next week.
I was hoping I could refresh and there would be a new one.
And there'd be another. The worst thing that could happen is you refresh and you drop one. Because someone's like, I want this to go on. But anyway, Joe, we have in Canada, we have vacation. Some places have vacation time. We do have free healthcare everywhere. It is an amazing country. We also have trucks and I want to go work on mine and baseball. And I didn't even say this last week, but I bought my son an 8x12, batting like little setup for him. On the side of it has the ball that you can hit and it just spins around. At the back, it's got a tee. He can hit wiffle balls into it because we were using a blitz ball and I was pitching to him and he hit one over our little barn that we've got in the yard and we went and found it in the back. And then he pitched to me and I just slobber knocked one far, far away into some long brush. And I'm like, crap, that ball's gone till the fall. So we bought some MLB approved, like squishy neon green wiffle ball things. They're amazing for practicing and my kid loves them and he's got an aggressive approach. I don't like to put anything social media put anything of him on social media, but just imagine it's a blend between Griffey Sheffield and that goon guy that strikes out in Little Big League. Those are the three different swings he has depending on where I throw the ball. So we've been having a blast with that, and it's been a little chilly here. It was almost fridge temp today, so we needed to warm up a bit to get back out there. But, next week, we got big plans for everybody, promotions, etc.
And there's been lots of them. There's been lots of really interesting minor league promotions this year. So we'll have plenty to say on that. Robbie, what have you been up to? You been doing any other baseball talking, baseball writing, or just working?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Nope. This is it, man. This is it. This cooking in trucks.
I mean, does it get any better than that?
Yeah. You keep the blinders on to the rest. You know, I like to have my 15, 20 minutes every night where I sit in bed and I look at all the scores from the night, you know, check the box scores, and I'm looking to see how some of the guys are doing. And then when I, you know, have some free time later on, I might check, you know, our Discord, which everyone is more than welcome to join. It is free. Palazzo. Yeah, that one. I peruse that to see what's going on. But yeah, that's it. What about you, Ben?
Well, I do have some writing things that I've been working on. I put out my, I'm trying to think here, second to last, third to last, whatever, mock draft Monday. I do every other week. I put out a mock draft. This year is tonight, right now, as we're talking, the final team that gets to go to Omaha is being decided.
I wanted to wait one more week before we rewrap the turn. I want to see how accurate you are. Have you felt good about your pick so far?
Oh, you know, I blew pretty much every single upset that I picked. So, you know, no. But at the same time, this has been really stinking entertaining baseball. And so it's hard to be upset with, you know, it's just like when you fill out a bracket for the NCAA basketball tournament. If the games are good, you don't care that you got them wrong.
Right.
But, I pulled it up. I was going to see if where it was at. NC State has beaten Georgia. So the potential number one and number two draft picks will not be in Omaha because Travis Bazana's Oregon State lost. And now Georgia, which has Charlie Condon, they lost tonight as well. So NC State is going, and what that'll mean, if Georgia would have won, the SEC would have had five teams and the ACC three. Now it's an even matchup, ACC four, SEC four, and those are the only two conferences that will be playing for a national championship. So apparently the Big Ten, the Big 12, Pac-12, everybody else, they don't matter. It's all about the ACC and the SEC. But I have been writing on draft stuff, and it's going to be a very interesting draft here in July. Tomorrow I have coming out my weekly 10 pack that I do. And actually, oddly enough, we're talking promotions for next week. The guys I'm mentioning in my 10 pack this week are all promotions guys that have been promoted in season at this point. So which I plan to probably do for another week after this, because there were a lot of guys when I started looking that up. So there's some very interesting guys on the list that I put out for tomorrow, and there's going to be a lot more coming. So
awesome.
So that's it. That's all though. So anything else fun and exciting for those who want to watch, or What are you looking for this week in the great game of baseball here, Robbie?
Well, obviously I'm looking for Spencer Howard to go for that first quality start, because he's been building up his pitch count. I'm still in on Howard. If I'm just going to quickly look here at guys, Connor Wong. I'm looking to see him continue his hot streak. He's batted almost 300 the last month, and this is, to me, a coming out party for him, because I've liked him for a while. We're still watching, and I am still actively watching, Nick Gonzalez beat the bejeebers out of MLB pitching right now. Had 341 the last 2 weeks in 44 at bats, Ben. He is just hitting, and it's fun. So I've picked him up in my home league. JMR Candelario, I'm also watching him rebound nicely. JP Crawford. I was Soto's back in the lineup, so that's good. You know, there are lots of things I've got eyes on. One of the others is
lost tonight.
Did he? Oh, son of a bee sting. Well, he's trade bait. The other one that's interesting is Will Benson, who started horribly this year, and Cincinnati kept playing him, And he is now, like, the last 2 weeks, he's just heated right up. He's got a 1034 OPS, but only one home run. But he is playing so much better now than he was before. So I'm watching these guys that started slow start to pick it up, and maybe that'll be a thing that one of the other guys can cover on their shows, whether that's Mike G, Mike VA, Britton, one of the fellas, and so, get to that conversation.
I just pulled up the active games going on right now, and I see that pitching for the New York Yankees is Michael Tonkin. Now, if you remember earlier this year, he was DFA'd twice, and at the time had something like a 6-7 ERA. Take a wild guess what he has done with the stinking Yankees.
I haven't looked at any of this, so I'll just say no earned runs in 7 1/3 innings. I don't know.
He has pitched 19 2/3 innings.
Oh, wow.
For them in the bullpen, 14 appearances, 0.92 ERA.
Wow. What's the key?
It's 18 strikeouts in 19 innings.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. What the heck? So, who is this guy?
I was just saying, is this another Clay Holmes? Is he throwing sliders? What's he doing? Well, I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is he has had one save opportunity, did not convert it. But still, you know, 0.92 whip as well, 167 average against. There's a lot of really good things going on here for Michael Tonkin with the Yankees. I had no clue. I honestly, you know, I watch a lot of baseball. I had no clue he was doing this. So there you go.
Okay.
That's it. That's all, though. I don't have any, unless you got something more that we really
no way, Jose.
Chat about. All right.
Well, let's be a closer and endless.
I was going to say, we're going to get out of here under an hour 90. And 30 yes. minutes. How about that?
It can be done. Right. It can be done.
All right. Well, for Robbie, for all of us here at the Palazzo family, get on the YouTube, subscribe, get your friends to subscribe, grab their phones, subscribe, and they don't ever need to watch it. They can just be subscribers. That'd be great.
I'll take it.
But let's push us towards that 1,000 number. We got to climb over 800 first. So, but that's it. That's all. We'll see you guys next week.
Coors.
Coors.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.